Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, February 18, 2019, and today's show is titled Gays and Lesbians. And I will tell you why we're addressing this now. I stumbled across something. I had a whole another show already that I was studying for. It was actually called Zion, Person, Place, and Thing, which I'm going to do. I definitely got to do that show. But when I was scrolling, I stumbled across this article. I was like, you know what? It's time to talk about this. So I'm glad I didn't talk about it years ago when I first wanted to, because I would have botched up that whole message that I thought I was reading. I'm so glad I didn't do that. And thank God that I do listen for the inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And and sometimes when they don't think I'm listening, they'll just distract me and give me other topics to kind of stay away from that topic that they don't want me to talk about. And that's what he did. Thank God, because I had misunderstood some things in the scriptures and I would have taught it totally incorrectly. I probably would have been so embarrassed that I probably wouldn't have taught again after that. So thank God he had stopped me from doing that back, right? He's done it a few times, actually. Thank God. I'm the type, once I get embarrassed, I'm done. Like, I'm just all the way done. So thank God I haven't been embarrassed enough where I can't, you know, pick my face back up and keep it moving. You know, thank God. But anyway, let me do a quick intro. I'm Shamika Tia. I'm 43 years old. I live in Georgia. I'm the mother of one male child who texts me once every 24 hours now, by the way. And I'm studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. So get out your own Bibles, especially for this show. Especially for the show. Get out your own Bibles and read along. And especially for this show, I definitely want to read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. Have to do that. Did I give you out a phone number already? Yes, I did, right? Let me open up the studio. So if anybody wants to call in, chime in. If you gay, if you're a lesbian and you want to call in, chime in, whatever you want to do, it's totally fine. You have the floor. But 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule, understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule, give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally, unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. Let the Bible be its own interpreter. Let the Bible be its own interpreter. Please, let the Bible be its own interpreter. Right? We should not be given opinions when we read the scriptures. And if you choose to give an opinion, you should say, in my opinion, that's why people are being sat down. If you don't want to have that conversation, we can have that conversation. That's why people are being sat down. Everybody want to play God. Everybody want to be God. Everybody want to run organizations like Pharisees, right? Keep it up. Keep it up. You'll be sat down. He's sitting a lot of people down these days. And you can tell when people been sat down and they don't know they've been sat down, because you'd be sitting there watching a message and it'd be dry as hell. And you'd be like, no anointing behind it. You'd just be looking at them like a deer in the headlights, like, did you even pray before you got this message? Like, you know what I mean? It'd be dry. And it almost make you angry because it's so dry. That's when you can tell them people who've been sat down and they don't understand. That means sit down and shut up and you can't teach anymore. And they just keep on and keep on. It'd be the driest message ever. It'd be like the dumbest stuff ever. No, I mean, and there's no such thing as dumb teaching. I get that, but it'd be dumb dry and almost an inconvenience to sit there and listen to it for a couple of hours, right? Yeah. And that's why this book is to be taken very, very seriously. The anointing is to be taken very, very seriously. Spiritual gifts are to be taken very, very seriously. People's lives are to be taken very, very, very seriously. Souls are to be taken very, very seriously. You know, the world, everything about God is to be taken very, very seriously. And if you're not going to take it very seriously, that's okay, but don't pick it up and act like you are and then become a Pharisee, hypocrite, all the other things that God hates, trying to play God, trying to be God, telling people who's going to heaven, who's going to hell, like your ticket is secure. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's time to discuss this. Let me just tell you what brought on me to put down my Zion notes, being person, place, and thing, to do this is because I was scrolling through Facebook and I stumbled across an article that read, T.D. Jakes comes out for gay rights and LGBT churches says position is evolving. And this is not the first time that people have misquoted T.D. Jakes. He gets a bad rep because he does teach truth. So you'll see like random articles misquoting him, and then when you read the then when you listen to the interview or whatever, he didn't say what the article said. He said like, because people don't bother to click on it. It'll be like the most generic thing. T.D. Jakes says he's gay, but then when you listen to the video, it ain't got nothing to do with T.D. Jakes saying he's gay. But people don't bother to click and say, what? He said he's gay? Like I do. I want to be like, what? He said that? Then as he's going on and on in the interviews, he didn't say nothing like that. So they misquote because that's what brings the views. And sometimes people don't want to watch it for a whole, you know, 10 minutes is a long time in the social media world. Like, you watch something for 10 minutes, it better be good as hell. But, you know, people just want a quick 5 minutes max. What is he saying? And that's when pastors like that get misquoted, unfortunately. So this is no different. I took the time and read what it said. I did not watch the video. I'm not even sure if there was a video attached to it because I was, like I said, I was in the middle of doing my homework. I was just kind of multitasking as I was doing my homework, and I just was like, what? T.D. Jakes? Okay. You know, and I just clicked print. So I'm going to print what it says. It says, mega church leader and author T.D. Jakes says that homosexuals should attend congregations that affirm their lifestyle and that politics do not need to reflect biblical ethics. Adding that his position on homosexuality is both evolving, excuse me, is both evolved and evolving. Then it also says, during an interview with the Huffington Post on Monday, Jake was asked by a viewer if he believes that homosexuals and the black church can coexist. And this is his answer. Absolutely. I think it is going to be diverse from church to church. Every church has a different opinion on the issue, and every gay person is different, he replied. And I think that to speak that the church, the black church, the white church, or any kind of church you want to call it, are all the same is totally not true. He said that he thinks homosexuals should find congregations that affirm their lifestyle. The LGBT of different types and sorts have to find a place of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe, like anyone else, he outlined. The church should have the right to have its own convictions and values, and if you don't like those convictions and values, you totally disagree with it, don't try to change my house, move into your own, and find somebody who gets what you get about faith, Jake adds. He said that the issue of homosexuality is complex. And then it goes on with the quote, Paul spends a lot of time wrestling back and forth trying to understand, should a woman wear a head covering? Should you cut your hair? Jake started. Excuse me, Jake stated. I mean, they gripple back then, and we're grippling now because we're human and we are flawed and we're not God. Once you understand you're not God, you leave yourself an out clause to grow, he said. When asked if his position on homosexuality has evolved, Jakes agreed that it has evolved and evolving, he replied. I think that where I am is better understand. Wait, I think that where I am is to better understand we, the church, bought into the myth that this is a Christian nation. Early this year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that state must legalize same-sex marriage, igniting a battle between the church and state over the issue. In his comments on Monday, Jakes' advocates for the separation of church and state, which would allow for all types of people to have whatever rights they desire despite biblical prohibitions. He said that politics don't need to be based on Christianity. Once you get past thinking America is a Christian nation, and once you begin to understand that democracy, that's a republic, is designed to be an overarching system to protect our unique nuances, then we no longer look for public policy to reflect biblical ethics, Jakes explained. If we can divide, or what you would call separation of churches, then we can dwell together more effectively, because atheists, agnostics, Jews, all types of people, Muslims, pay into the government. The government then cannot reflect one particular view over another just because we're a dominant group of religious people in this country, because those numbers are changing every day, he asserted. We need a neutralized government that protects our rights to disagree with one another and agree with one another. Jakes had visited the Huffington Post to discuss his new book on destiny. The interview focused on motivational subject matter and following one's dream and passions, as opposed to the eternal destiny of the soul. Okay? So that's the gist of it. And I want to address some things that was addressed. The first thing I want to address is that he said homosexuals should find congregations that affirm their lifestyle. So here's the thing with that. How should I say this? Why, as a pastor, I'm just going to say as a believer in general, because we shouldn't hold pastors to they're human as well, and they're also believers as well. Why do believers think that their sin is different than someone else's sin? When God says sin is sin, that's number one. And number two, shifting back to the pastors, because they're the ones that get the call to start a church. And my biggest question is, why don't pastors understand? I'm sorry, I'm getting texts. Why don't I just lost my train of thought. Oh, okay, so the call men, the pastors, why don't they understand, number one, that church is to win souls? Okay? I can't stress that enough. Church is to win souls. This is the most action I've had in months. Churches to win souls. Lest I missed it, churches to win souls, to bring people to Christ, to bring people for forgiveness, to bring people to mercy, to bring people to joy. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You have to hear in order to transform and change. And you're not the one doing the transformation and the changing. It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. Why would you tell, and again, I'm not attacking What is this I'm looking at? Why would you separate gays? Because you didn't call out adulterers in the church, right? There's a few of them in the church. You didn't call out fornicators in the church. There's a few of them in the church. Sometimes the pastor himself is having affairs, right? There was a pastor on TV a while back that was giving women AIDS in the congregation a few times. Somebody was just telling me the other day, the church she used to go to, I think she said it was a church in Atlanta, the pastor had an affair, brought the whole damn church down. He was sat down, his son reigned in his stead, and his son didn't do a good job. So, like, she said the church is still kind of operating now, but barely. That's a pastor. So, when did we start playing God and saying, no, not your soul? Yeah, your soul is okay. Your sin is okay. Nope, not yours, not yours. Oh, yeah, your sin is it. And as a person that's studying to be a pastor, that's what I'm doing right now. And I couldn't figure out why. I'm sorry, y'all. This is the most, I kid you not, this is like the most action I've had in months. I don't even get something. Anyway, this is hitting personal to me because I kept getting called for years and I was just kind of ignoring it. Like, leave me alone, God. Leave me alone. I like to drink. I like to smoke. Like, leave me alone. I like to do my little thing. And he just wouldn't let me do that. He just kept calling me and was adamant about me not saying no. And then when I read stuff like this, I go, oh, I see why you're raising up new breeds and new generations and new fresh, clear minds. It's not going to take this word, flip it into what they want it to be, and then start turning people away from God. Oh, you had a child out of wedlock? Nope, we won't christen your baby. Nope, we won't baptize your baby because you had that baby and then. This is what's going on. I think it was Marvin Wyatt, wasn't it? And I like him. Because he's a pastor, apparently, and said that a young lady who had her child out of wedlock was trying to get the baby christening. And he was like, no, he wouldn't christen the baby because she wasn't married. What? Excuse me? Where do they do that at? I know where. Phariseeville. Phariseeville is where they do that at. Because here's a girl trying to do the right thing, right? She could have had her baby and kept him out of the church and just kept living in sin and being ratchet. No, she's coming to church and trying to get herself together. And nope, not in this church. We will not support your sin. I was christening the baby supporting her sin. I thought it was called love of God. I thought it was called for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe it in him should not perish and have everlasting life. That's what I thought the scripture said. But no, you said because she has a child out of wedlock, you ain't going to christen her. Then you get sat down. Then you have a dry message, or nothing you do is fruitful. Nothing you do is flourishing. Your members are dwindling down. You in and out of the hospital. Because that's what happens next. They start getting sick, in and out of the hospital, all kinds of ailments going on with their body. Because you want to play God. And God is like, oh, you want to be me? Okay, well, then I'm going to take my hands off you, and then we see how much me you can be. Do you know what that does to somebody's self-esteem when they come into the church to get help for their sinful nature and have the church turn them away? Do you know what that is like? Thank God. I don't know what that's like. Well, a little bit similar. You know what? I kind of do. Thank God I already knew who I was as a believer back then, because I probably would have handle it differently. But me and my ex was living together, if you want to call it Jack and whatever you want to call it, I really don't care. We were living together, and I'm pretty sure I heard God say, get rebaptized. And at the time, I was like, oh, you know what, let's all get baptized as a family. You know, my ex had just got custody of his other boys. Like, he was going through a real bad custody battle, real bad court system. Like, everything was just kind of dumped on him. When I met him, he was, like, suicidal, basically. He was either suicidal or about to turn into a murderer type of, you know what I'm saying, nursing back to health. I was from a legal background, so I knew that paperwork real good inside and out. I'm nursing him back to health or whatever. You know, so filing paperwork, he ended up getting custody of the two boys. They came to live with us in my house. So I'm like, you know what, Dante and y'all, you know, let's all get baptized. And then he had a little one. So two of his kids came to live with us, and the little one was just over all the time. So we like, yeah, let's all get baptized. And I went and tried to sign us all up to get baptized. And don't you know, one of the side pastors was like, well, we're not going to baptize you because you and him are not married. So you know me, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, damn, word of God, you tricked me. I thought you said get baptized. You know, so I was pretty sure God was saying to get baptized. I knew I heard him pretty clearly. And I said to the side pastor, can you check that out with God? Because I thought I heard him say, get baptized. And you know what he said to me? I don't need to check with him. I said, oh, okay. I said, all right, thank you. He said, if you want to still get the kids baptized, they can get baptized, but we're not going to baptize you and him because y'all living together and y'all ain't married. And I said, okay, all right. So I feel no type of way. I let the kids get baptized. You know, Dante got rebaptized, and his other two boys, it was their first time getting baptized. Money, we had already had a bunch of nonsense going on with all his legal issues and, you know, the boys coming to live with us, it was tight because I had a small house. Like, it was a lot going on. So for them to kind of come at us like that was, we actually needed help. And for them to kind of come at us like that was, it was disheartening. But it didn't shake me. It didn't make me bitter. It didn't make me want to stop going there. I was already kind of like, well, I'm learning so much here. I'm not going to let offense deter me, because I had already let a sense deter me probably like a few years prior to that. And I was like blocking my blessings. So that's when I had learned how to talk to God and all that stuff from this church. So I wasn't going to let that offense deter me. But one thing I knew was I had heard God pretty clearly say, get baptized. And here this pastor's telling me he not going to baptize me. And I said to him, you may want to check that out with God. I'm pretty sure he told me to get. And he said, I don't have to check that out with God. I kid you not. The next week, my wife was in a car accident. The next week, this happened. The next week, that happened. I'm talking about week after week after week after week after week. It was nonstop curses. Non-stop curses. That man could not stay. I seen that man stand up on stage and sweat like a damn pig because he refused to sit down. Because in my mind, I was like, I know God's going to sit him down because I heard him say get baptized. And he sat up there one day dripping and looked like he was about to pass the hell out because he didn't want to sit down. And you could just see the toll that it was taking on his body. Then the main pastor, she was sat down. I mean, it was evident. It was evident the presence had left the whole church. And for week after week, we would just sit there like this, trying to listen. And all he would talk about is his mom and when he was a kid and he used to play basketball. And we would just be in the congregation like, and then the next week he'd be saying the same thing. And the next week, and I got to see how horrible they started looking. I'm talking about from going to blessed to frail and weak and cursed, if you want to call it cursed. When the presence of God leaves you, it is like a curse. And I kept saying, damn, does he know it's because he wanted to be God? He's trying to play God. When God is sending people to your spiritual hospital for help, and you want to run that like an organization, you want to run it like a business, we want all our members to be married, and we want all our members to be sinless, and we want all our members to and this is what our members, this is what we stand for. This ain't no damn country club. Church. Do you know what church is? You've never seen Jesus ministering to the Pharisees. Never. Never. They were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. You know how much times my ex tried to tell him he married the wrong girl? You know what that man would say to him? Well, no. Then we found out he was divorced. You mean to tell me that's your second marriage? And you're going to sit up here and tell this man, no, don't get divorced. What? Talk about Pharisee and hypocrite. Like, I couldn't even believe. We started, and then we found out the main pastor was, that was her second. We were like, what the hell is happening? What's happening? And they still are in operation, but like, when I tell you it didn't even make sense to keep going there, like, that's how bad it got. Like, it would just be like, you know, you're just going somewhere and you're just getting frustrated being there because the word is so bland and dry and like, is this going to get better than this? Like, that's not going to get you out of bed on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, it was actually pitiful because it was such a beautiful, powerful church. And I saw firsthand, and I'm kind of glad I had the opportunity to see firsthand. When God sends somebody to you to nurture, to love, and to care for, and you turn them away all on account of the law. You know what I'm saying? That's why I feel very strongly about the gays and lesbians, because that's what I'm seeing that's happening present day. Don't get me wrong. I don't like how T.D. Jakes said they need to find a church that is, what was the word he used, affirms their lifestyle. And he said, different types of souls have to find a place of worship that reflects what your views are. There is no such thing. If you want a church to accept your sin, that's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't pick and choose and then start ricocheting people from the Spirit, but you should be attracting people to the Spirit is what I'm saying. Am I saying they should be sitting there and glorifying gay and lesbian? But I don't want to only talk about gay and lesbian. Let's talk about fornication. Let's talk about adultery. Let's talk about gossiping. Let's talk about all this other stuff that God hates. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, why are we only separating gays and lesbians for the sake of the Bible and then telling people, well, no, you find a church where you can just be gay. You got people in there that's having sex and they're not married, right? You got people in there that's married and cheating on their husbands and wives, right? You got people in there gossiping all day long on the phone before they got to church, right? false witnessing all day, all night, right? So all the other stuff, haughty, right? Arrogant, money lovers, lovers of selves, all the stuff that's on the list that guys hate. Why are we only talking about gays and lesbians and them not coming in our church? Can we do the rewind? Because I know gay and lesbian people, and when I spoke to, because I'm the type of person, I like to know all the details. When did you know you was gay? What happened? Was it like a, oh my God? When you do the rewind and you get down to that gay root, you know what you'll find? Child molestation. Child molestation is at the root of that gay, that gaydom. Okay? Yes. Child molestation is at the root of that. So here's a child molested, grows up having an identity crisis, and eventually finds the courage to even go to church and then get the church and be told, you can't come in here. Y'all can't come in here. So Satan is win, 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 win. Win from you getting molested. Win from you having the identity crisis. Win from them turning you away from God so that you never make it to the cross. And win for whatever you're going to become, that hatred, right? Usually become very hatred and bitter, very hatred and bitter. That's four wins for one dumb believer. Or one ignorant believer. Four wins under the devil's belt. Wow. 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 I wanted to open a series. I started doing like a prophet and seers thing, and I'm going to open that back up. One of the things we have to learn as the newly called, before we ever take that pulpit, we are not God. We are not God. Each person, each couple, each whoever that stands in front of you and asks you something, whether it's asked you for your opinion or asks you something to do or asks you, you're supposed to wait for the Holy Spirit to give you the utterance, right? You're supposed to wait for the Holy Spirit to give you the utterance because you're not God. You're a vessel. You're a vessel. And the minute you forget that, that's when you get on dangerous grounds with your role, okay? Don't get me wrong. Some things is common sense. If you go to Genesis 19, this is where I wanted to read, okay, because I can kind of see what they would be basing that off of. I'm not going to just say that they're totally incorrect. Let's go to Genesis 19. Actually, before we go to Genesis 19, let me make sure no one has any questions or comments about what we've discussed thus far. DeMarcus Lanfair says, how do I call in again? My opinion of gays and lesbians. DeMarcus, the dial-in number is, or you can even, you want me to tag you into the video and you can do a video? But the dial-in number is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. And that's for DeMarcus Lanfair or anybody else that wants to call in. If you want me to tag you into the video, which I would prefer, I like to have a face with a name, a face with an opinion. Sometimes that matters. Any more questions? Okay. Somebody named Damien Monk says, I read that quote a few years ago. The man is off. You don't mistreat, but you. No, I didn't mean to do that. He says, you. Hold on, let me open up this message. So he says, I read that quote a few years ago. The man is off. You don't mistreat, but you. This is a VE. But you blink to let. Oh, I guess he meant you have. But you have to let them know that the Almighty doesn't approve of it. What's next? We? Are we going to have churches that affirm bestiality, human sacrifice, or pedophiles? Well, I totally agree with you, Damien. However, what's happening is they're only talking about that. Why not let the single woman in there that's sleeping around? That's not good. Why not let the married couples that's cheating? That's not good. Why not let the sisters in the front that's acting holy out doubt but gossiping about everybody? That's not good. So that's what the problem is. We're not qualified, and hopefully that pastor's qualified to do that. And if you don't say we in it, that's a problem. There is no one that's sinless to be qualified enough to start picking and choosing whose sin is better than the other. That's the problem, Damien. So when a pastor stands up there, they're supposed to stand up there in humility as a vessel, saying what the Spirit is telling them to say. Yes, there will be conviction behind it. There will also be edification behind it. Like I said, I tell a gay people, you can't join this church. Number one, you're just turning away two souls. That's number one. Number two, why? You know what I'm saying? The rest of the sinners are sitting in your congregation. So that's what the rest of the sinners are sitting in your congregation. You know what I mean? He that is without sin cast the first stone. Nobody's qualified to cast that stone. Is the problem, Damien? You know, we like to pick and choose because it's easy to attack the gays. You know, just like the sluts. You know, somebody walking around with short shorts on or slutty clothes. It's easy to attack the sluts. Oh, la, 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 la. But the person that's suited up and slept with every secretary in his office and then leaving to sleep with one. You ever see corporate America, dudes? He's I ain't even going to talk about it. Because I worked in corporate America for years. Listen. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about what goes on in those offices. I'm not going to do it. Okay? But you suited up and you looked the part. Oh, you're married with kids. Oh. So that's what looks good, right? Be the most buck wild person you ever want to meet. So that's the problem, Damien. They've turned into Pharisees. I'm not going to say we because I don't do it. You know, one thing I try to do is judge myself. I try to make sure I'm not being a hypocrite. If I even find myself becoming hypocritical, I always catch it. I should say the Holy Spirit will always flash that mirror back in my face like, that's you. And I'm like, okay, you know, my bad, Father God, my bad. You know, quick to repent for my behavior if I am acting like a hypocrite. Unfortunately, people can't judge themselves. You know what I mean? What people can't judge themselves. So when you don't judge yourself and you just start judging everybody else, especially in this pastoral role, that's a role that's sacred. People are looking up to you. People are crying out to you for help. You are the only Jesus they're going to see. And then you're being, nope, dismissive, nope, not you, nope, not you and that bastard kid. Don't bring that bastard kid and he ain't asking me to baptize him. What in the hell? Y'all don't see a problem with that? I mean, whew. Be the first one, though, I need to get surgery. Your body malfunctioning, that. It's called being sat down. Scorpion sat down. Damian Rudy says, Damian Monk, I agree. A door can be open to anyone, but it is to be taught just like all sins ought to be taught to the people as the Lord expects us to do. Homosexuality. Sexuality is taught and said by the Lord in his word, an abomination. Yeah, gang. So is gossip. Yeah, not too many people know that. What is this? Proverbs 6, maybe? 7 things God hates. And guess what's not on that list? Mm-hmm. Christina Richardson says, amen, we are not God. Thanks, queen. Thanks. The queens know what time it is. Dude, sometimes y'all skate off in that Pharisee mindset as well. Like, y'all, you know, squeaky clean. And you're not. Like, that's the problem these days. Nobody's squeaky clean. And like I said before, I am studying to be a pastor. And I couldn't figure out for years why God was calling, like, leave me alone. I don't want, you know. And then when stuff like this happens and I see everybody's opinion, and I'm like, damn, no wonder. Like, no wonder. How many people are just willing to just be a vessel? How many people are just willing to be a vessel and just say to the Holy Spirit, give me the utterance. Okay, boom. This gay couple's coming to me. What about the married couple that's sitting over there and the husband gawking at every damn thing he nailed down? Or the wife looking at everybody else's husband? You ever see those people in church? The wife looking at your man. Believe me, I used to come to church with my man. And the married woman would be all up in his face. Yes, the married woman would be all up in his face. Now I'm like, well, damn. I expect the single women, the married women would be all up in his face. Mm-hmm. But looking at us like, oh, they ain't married, they shacking. You mad because you ain't shacking with them. You mad because it ain't you. You with your boring, dumb husband. That's why you all in mine. Mm-hmm. I know all about it. I mean, I know all about it. Anyway, let's go to Genesis 19. Because this is what they're basing it off of, right? Genesis 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Excuse me. Sodom. Did I say Sodom? Let me start again. And there came again two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. Or, I'm sorry, this thing is non-stopper. Non-stopper. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. Verse 4. Excuse me, verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Verse 6, and Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye to them as is good in your own eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. But therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will need to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? But in other words, they was trying to rape these two men. Okay? Sodom and Gomorrah was so bad. So bad. And do you hear what Lot said? Oh, I'll give you my two virgin daughters. Y'all can rape them. He didn't say rape. You know, don't add to scripture. But he said, I'll send them out. Y'all can do what y'all want to them. Don't bother these men. Yes, he understands that the men were angels or whatever the case may be. But do you see, damn, ain't your daughter sacred to you? Ain't your daughter sacred to you? You know what I'm saying? Ain't your daughter sacred to you too? That's to just tell you how buck wild and savage-like this behavior was in Sodom. Like, you ever heard of sodomy? They're basing it off of Sodom and Gomorrah. This vicious, savage-like lifestyle was orgies and rapings and God knows what else. You know, I mean, you just got to use your imagination. If God is wiping out the whole damn place, we talking about some vicious acts going on, not just regular. Okay? To the point where they spot two dudes going to Lot's house. They was on these dudes so hardcore, about to break down Lot's door just to get these. So we talking about savages. We talking about savages here. That's the Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, that people try to associate when they're dealing with gays coming in the church. Like, oh, no, you got destroyed. You can't be here because you're going to rape to get people here. Wait, what? You see what I'm saying? Like, they read this part and they see how vicious that lifestyle is, and maybe they still think it's, and I'm not saying it's not, I mean, I don't, you know, what I'm saying is, in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a very vicious, savage, like, free-for-all lifestyle. It was lifestyle, and it was very horrible. It's very, very horrible. Let's keep that in mind. So you want to go by, what is the church basing this on? Why, like, why are they coming down on the gays and lesbians so bad? Because of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Now let's go to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. I hate to just, how are we doing with time? It's 11:14. Let's just jump right into it. Usually I don't like to just jump around. I like to read the whole chapter and then read into the verse that I'm at question, but for the sake of time today and it's late, we just jump right into it. Again, it's Leviticus chapter 18. Verse 22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Right? We understand that. Okay? Okay. We understand that. But did you read the rest? Did you read the rest? Did you read 17? Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness
of a woman and her daughter. Neither shall thou take her son's daughter. Like, did you read the rest? The whole 18 is giving a list of don'ts, not just 22 to be pointed out. Verse 19 says, thou shalt not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Verse 20, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile her. You've slept with married women before. You have. You've slept with married men before. You have. So all this other stuff that also this chapter is saying don't do. Right? All this other stuff. But we only saw 22. You only want to see 22, right? You only want to see 22. Why? Let me tell you why. The other things we don't see. If you slept with a married man and, you know, he gets up and goes home, we can't see what you've done. You don't wear your sin. You know, gays and lesbians, they wear this. And, like, you can look at them and go, oh, he's gay. Oh, she's a lesbian. Like, they kind of wear it. So that's what makes people uncomfortable is they wear their sin. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make one more intense than the other just because they wear their sin. You actually wear your sin, too. You just don't know it. Yeah, you do. Let me close the sound. I guess that guy never dialed in. Want me to give you the dialer number again? I don't know if it was. Or maybe you decided against it because you was being a Pharisee. But the guest dialer number is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. Want to dial in? Hey, dial in. If you want me to invite you on the video, that's fine too. I really don't want you to be a Pharisee, though. I want you to say a legitimate, like, make sure, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to heal from judgmental. And I'm not talking about, like, I'm not one of those people that be like, the Bible said don't judge. No, you do. You're supposed to be making mental judgments all the time. But it's not to make other people feel some type of way. Like, it's supposed to be like, oh, thank God I was not molested. And thank God I'm not having an identity crisis. And thank God I'm not gay. But that's not too, that's stuff that should be going on in here quietly. You know, if you're going to be saying, like, in your mind, like, wow. Like, wow, thank God that, you know, I wasn't molested as a child and I didn't struggle or suffer with an identity crisis. Like, thank God. Like, you ever pay attention to the mindset and the thought process that goes into a man really trying to look like a woman, vice versa, a woman really trying to look like a man? That's a lot of pain. They're actually wearing their pain, you know, because here's the thing, they fail at it they fail at it. The guy that's trying to look like a, let's say Bruce Jenner. What in the hell? You know, now they got this transvestite thing. That's painful to watch. You know, when you see a guy trying to be a girl, that's painful to watch. I mean, like, emotionally painful. When you see a girl trying to be a guy, that's emotionally painful to watch. So we shouldn't be watching like, oh, I can't believe it. We should be watching with mercy in mind, and in love. Like, mercy should be like, wow. You know, I don't know what this person's story is to be suffering with this identity crisis so bad to the point where they've begun to start transforming to look like the opposite sex, and they're failing at it. Like, you never look at a person that's trying to be the opposite sex and go, ooh, he makes a cute girl. Ooh, she makes a cute dude. Never. Never. It's always, you look like a weirdo. Like, you know what I mean? So you got to understand there's a pain behind making them think looking like a weirdo
and living like a weirdo is better than facing their reality. You know what I'm saying? It's better than them facing their reality. So keep that in mind the next time a gay or lesbian, or now these days that's boring. Now we're dealing with the transgender. So when a transgender crosses your path, put that mercy seat up. Put that mercy seat up. And I don't know how this is going to play out, because now that they're taking hormones, oh my goodness, oh, I can't wait to get in my bed. But now that they're taking hormones to start transforming into the other sex, at some point, if we allow them in our churches and in our congregations, at some point, here's the blessing behind doing that. At some point, you know what they do? They go, what am I doing? They look in the mirror and they start seeing the real them that God made and start loving that person. And maybe try to backpedal. I don't know if the hormones will do the reverse. Like if they're taking hormones to look like a boy, I don't know if there's hormones for them to go back looking like a girl. I don't know. All I'm saying is, if we would allow them to come in, hear the word, get the word, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them to start doing the transformation spiritually, all that other stuff will fall in place. You're not the corrector. Like the homeboy said, I think Monk said, we should be telling them that their lifestyle. You don't think they know that? Well, you know, don't know that that's not a good behavior. They know that. It's built on pain. It's built on pain. Of course they know that. What they need for the transformation spiritually to happen, you're turning them away from the antidote, which is the house of God. Not too many people can pick up this Bible and read it on their own. They need to get into the house of God, get taught that, and I'm not talking about saying get taught that gay and lesbian is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the hell the pulpit is for. It's to be taught about the good news of redemption and salvation and forgiveness, mercy, grace, love, all of it, healing, all of it. Once they get the cross under their belt, then they get the Holy Spirit under their belt, the Holy Spirit and cross will start doing it internally for them. And then all of a sudden, outwardly starts to change. All of a sudden, their thought process starts to change. All of a sudden, they see that strap on like, what are you doing? I'm not a guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, the stuff that used to be appealing, it's not. All of a sudden, that guy that thinks he's gay, all of a sudden, he sees a girl and goes, oh, my God, I like girls now. I'm liking girls. All of a sudden, he starts liking girls. The gay girl that thinks she's a boy, all of a sudden, she starts liking boys because now she's filling up with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what transforms the mind, right? All of a sudden, she's getting this new spirit. When I did my homework today, that's exactly what the teacher was teaching about. What scripture was it? He said, I forgot. Was it Ezekiel? I want to say Ezekiel 36, where God is saying, I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to give you a new spirit. And then I'm going to get, you need a new heart. In a new spirit. That's where the transformation comes in. Not from you going to a certain church and y'all all sitting there like Pharisees judging. Everybody in there is a sinner. That's not where the transformation comes from. You know what I mean? It's filling up with God, filling up with that, it's satisfying. It's sad. I wouldn't be able to work at my job if it wasn't satisfying. Where am I? There's no men here. We can't drink. Oh, stuff I love. We can't do. I wouldn't be able to sit here if it wasn't. You know, and I've been here a few years. Sometimes I'm sitting here like, what the hell am I doing here? And then other times I'm like, oh, yeah, I know I'm here. You know what I mean? I need to be shielded from the outside world. I need to be shielded from the outside world, you know? And that's why, because I'll skate off the road, call straight, and start doing crazy things. So I already know me. But at the same time, when you start filling up with the spirit, then you don't no longer need to be barricaded from the outside world. Then you can make better decisions, if that makes sense. The more and more you fill up, the more and more your heart changes, the more and more your spirit changes. All of a sudden, your mindset becomes a little bit different. All of a sudden, you start looking at yourself in a higher light, like, wow, why am I doing that? I shouldn't be doing nothing crazy like that. What am I doing that for? What made me do that? Then you start seeing sin for what it is. Sin, you don't feel good about it anymore. Condemnation comes from it. Let's say you sleep with somebody. All of a sudden, when you would normally be like, oh, okay. Then you sleep with somebody like, shh. Like, why did I do that? That was pretty stupid. To the next time. And then the next time. Then the next time, then the next time, all of a sudden, it's not tempting anymore. You know what I mean? The more and more you fill up, all of a sudden, it's not tempting anymore. All of a sudden, it's not tempting anymore. You know? All of a sudden, that drink that you normally thought you need to get through the day, all of a sudden, that's not tempting anymore. That weed, I know I used to love smoking weed. All of a sudden, that weed is not tempting anymore. All of a sudden, somebody could put a blunt in your face and you'd be like, nah, I'm good. No, I'm good. But you can put some drinks in your face and you'd be like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Guess what? That's not coming from the pulpit. That's not coming from a judgmental pulpit. That is coming from the Holy Spirit. Our jobs, my computer timed out. Our jobs as a pastor, minister, evangelists, whatever, anybody in a church, deacons, ushers, our job is to people to God in the most comfortable environment, safe environment as possible. And the minute that we lose sight of that, you will be sat down. I'm not even kidding. I've seen people get sit down. And here's the thing, when you don't know you've been sat down, your body is going to experience this. You're going to sit down one way or the other. You're either going to get it together and repent, or you will be knocked down. I've seen it. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen people try to stand in the way of God and what he's got going on, including churches. And I've seen their body take a toll. It takes a toll. Either way, you got to get out God's way. You're either going to walk out of his way, you're going to repent out of his way, and say, oh, my bad, God, I didn't know you wanted gays in the church, my bad. Are you going to repent and start looking at people like souls, okay, like souls that need a spiritual hospital? That's what the hell church was supposed to be. Or two, take your Pharisee behind and sit in your own congregation because you need to be told what happens to Pharisees and Sadducees and hypocrites, right? You need to learn some stuff from false witness and gossipers. You know, I highly recommend repenting. I highly recommend that. Because like I say, anytime that I feel like I'm being a hypocrite, I always be like, my bad, God. My bad. Did I just become a hypocrite? I always do that because then he can work with that. He can work with my character for me to know that. And judge, he says, judge yourself, lest ye be judged. Now, if I'm going to sit there and echo holy out doubt, let's say me, I had my baby at 16. So let's say now that I'm old, you know, and I see another young girl come my way and she's pregnant. And I go, oh, my God, you know, oh, you ain't married. Like, you know how stupid I would feel? But some people do that and don't feel no type of way. Some people do that and don't feel no type of way. Like, yeah, that was you. You wasn't married when you had your kids either. You know, you wasn't married when you got, you wasn't a virgin when you got married. Like all this stuff that people are judging people on, they were not that. They were not that. It'd be the sluttiest whores that be judging the gays and lesbians. It'd be the most running around tramps, running around with everybody white that be judging the gays. What? You didn't ran, of course, you was the community property at one point. And now you want to act some type of way with the gays and lesbians. It'd be the worst ones, bottom of the barrel type worst ones. That's why the Pharisees were so horrible. Like, y'all the worst ones. Y'all the worst ones, but you want to elevate somebody else then so you feel better about yourself. Oh, yeah, I just slept with a married man, but I ain't gay. Okay. You sure? I see some callers on the line. If you would like me to unmute your mic, all you have to do is press #1, and then I can unmute your mic. And that's only if you want to talk or say anything. If not, you can just listen in silence. Unfortunately, I did not open up the chat box. I'm tired, and it's always giving me a problem anytime I try to open it up, so I didn't bother. But if you are on the line and you have a question or comment, you have to press #1, and then I'll get a notification to unmute your mic. If not, I'll just keep on talking. Matter of fact, let me see if there's any questions or comments about anything I've discussed so far. And I don't think I have any Pharisees and hypocrites on my friends list because I won't stand for it. I won't have it. And if y'all were, tonight's going to be the night that gets dug up, right? Because I told you I'm not playing that in 2019. I'm not playing that on my friends list. Y'all not going to be friends with me with this mindset. You're not going to be acting dumb. You're not going to be acting like hypocrites, gossipers, Pharisees. I'm not standing for it. You will not be on my friends list with that dumb, vain, babbling mindset. I'm not standing for it. I already told y'all that. I've already declared and decreed that you will not be in my friends list with that mindset. So I've already taken over that territory call. My friends list, all 5,000 of you, 4,999 of you, that has been claimed. That mindset has been claimed. Okay. And he gives me whatever I say. So, okay. And I'm not even kidding. Whatever I says, he gives it to me. So he's already given me that. Your mindset is not going to be stuck in that Pharisee. If you were stuck in that Pharisee, today is a day where you're just going to be like, you know what, dang, Father, my bad. I didn't even realize. I've never looked at the gays and the lesbians like that. There's so many scriptures that's speaking, and it ain't so many speaking against their lifestyle. Like, we can go to Leviticus 20, for example. We can go to Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lie with womankind, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. This is the, right? That's what it says. But that's not all it says. That's not all it says. According to everything else, it says we all should be put to death. That's the problem. That's the problem. We all should be put to death. If that's what the case is, that's old law. And I don't mean, oh, you can do what you want to do. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's all gravy. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, let's not separate the sin and start picking and choosing which one is acceptable and which one is not. He said none of it is acceptable. He said the Savior is for everybody that will believe, is my main message for today. None of the sin is acceptable. The Savior is available to everybody, to all, and to all.
that will repent and start walking and following, right?
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, oh, no, you can do what you want to do. We under grace, although we are. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying fill up with this Holy Spirit and have the Spirit lead you and guide you. Go to Romans chapter 1. Oh, my God. I need a bed. What time is it? 11:35. Go to Romans chapter 1, and let's just start in verse 18 really, really quick. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's talking about idol worship, right? Amongst other things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. I might as well finish it out. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. This is the list: fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud is down there, boasters, you like bragging, I got, keep bragging, right, boasters, I'm not talking about testifying, you need to testify, I like testify, but don't brag. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. 31, without understanding. Imagine that. Without understanding. Covenant breakers, without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If you say you ain't did nothing on that list, you are a liar. You are a liar. We all fall in something on that list, okay? Something on that list. If you say you don't, you are a liar, right? Keep that list in mind when you start trying to be like, Lisa, I ain't gay. Keep that list in your mind, right? Keep that list in your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, really, really quick. I need to go to bed, y'all. I'm not even kidding. And I'm starting to get hungry. I just like to eat all day. I've eaten so much right, y'all won't even believe me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6,
I used to be 125 all my life. I'm like 157 right now. That's a lot for me. Still, I like it though. It looks good, but I'm gonna start slowing down. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That list is pretty broad. I'm sure you fall on that something on that list, right? You do. Keep that list in mind the next time you want to call out gays and lesbians. 1 Timothy 1:8. 1 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars. If you ever lied, liars. For perjured persons, I mean, perjured, okay, for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has enabled me, so that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You fell along a few of those things, but only the gay. You see how dumb people sound when they say that? That's not the first thing on the list. It's not the last thing on the list. It's not the most important thing on the list. It says liars, and you are a liar too. But you only want to talk about gays and lesbians. Stop it. Stop it. I can keep on going on. Stop it. Please stop it. In 2019, you're going to stop it. You're going to stop it this year. You're going to stop it on my friends list. I know that much. You're going to stop it. And this is what you're going to stop doing. You're going to stop judging people. Okay? And start praying for people. And start interceding for people. Especially if you're a prophetess or a seer. By default, you are an intercessor. I forget that sometimes. Like when I be seeing stuff and hearing stuff, I forget that he holds that and I have a responsibility. If he shows me something, I should be praying for it, praying about it, praying it don't happen, interceding. Okay? He don't show you something and it starts happening. You start being like, I had a dream about that. I'm like, duh. That's your problem. You don't understand what your role is. Let's say you are a pastor and some gays come walking in your church or some lesbians come walking in your church. You don't get uncomfortable. Immediately you start interceding for them. Father God, I pray you do a new thing in them. Thank you for sending them under this ministry. Thank you for entrusting me with these souls. I pray, Holy Spirit, you give me the divine wording that I don't make them feel uncomfortable, but that they may find you through me. Vessel. What role should I assign them? Because then it's going to be in that role. Sometimes they need a role to be held accountable, right? Ask God. Why wouldn't you ask the Holy Spirit to give you that? You should be peeking the people in your church. But you got thieves and all of that in on your board of directors. People stealing from your offering plate. That gay lesbian probably going to be the most faithful person in that role. But you're scared. You're scared what the rest of the members are going to do if you assign that person on the board.
Maybe they're good with money. Maybe they're really, really good with money. Maybe it'll be that role if they find Jesus. Maybe they're going to spend more time in the church just because you gave them a role. Being more accountable. Wow, they want me to be on the board of directors. Oh, my God. I didn't even think I'd be able to join this church. Oh, my God, I'm gay. They want me there. Wow. You never know what love can do. Love conquers all. But you're scared. You're scared. You're a hypocrite. You're a Pharisee. You're scared of you. That's what you're scared of. You're scared of you. You're scared of you. You're scared of you. I thank you, God, for calling me. I thank you, Jesus, for calling me. I never looked at it like that until I started seeing the mindsets of these pastors. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. You don't want to baptize somebody because they had a child out of wedlock. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Or you don't want them in their church where you had they had an abortion. It's disgusting. You don't want them in your church. They're gay. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Disgusting. Oh, you smell like smoke. Oh, you smell like cigarettes. Oh, you smell like weed. Oh, you can't come in here. It's disgusting. No, because you smell like smoke, you need to bring your behind up in here. Because you was whoring all Saturday is why you need to bring your behind up in here. It's a spiritual hospital for the lost. Did you not forget what that pulpit was for? I pray he sit them all down that don't want to repent. Because I'm tired of people associating me with church folk. For real. They classifying all of us. And I'm tired of it. I'm going to start pointing y'all out. I'm gonna be like, yeah, I don't like being around those hypocrites either. I usually say that. When people, when you know, you try to invite people to church and you'd be like, oh, I don't do church. I'd be like, yeah, me neither. Me neither. But I do this church. I'm going to go to an awesome church. You know how hard it is when I'm trying to hand out a flyer and market people to my church and they look at me like, oh, church. I don't do church. I see why they don't do church. What the hell is there to do? Come in and feel horrible? That's not conviction. They took my own idea. Conviction. That's not conviction. That's Pharisee. That's judgment. That's hypocrite. That's hypocrisy. And it brings anger and strife and separation. It's disgusting. And I won't stand for it. I won't stand for it. I won't even be attached to an organization that stood for it. I really don't. I really don't. If I even, I wouldn't even be, I had a hair show, fashion show, and a transvestite was part of, was supposed to be a dance team. And I had a couple people say something about it, but they wasn't saying nothing about it, about the he or she or however they like to identify. They were saying about the dance was a little bit more provocative, and in my mind I was going, thank God, because had they have said something about him or her being a transvestite, I probably would have been like, really? You know, and then when I got to another place, somebody had said something about it, and I did say, oh, I'm not qualified to pick and choose who can get up on that stage and perform. I did splash that out there and say, I'm not qualified. Somebody else had brought it up, and I was like, I'm not qualified to pick and choose, you know, who can get up there and perform during, you know, because I'm not. I'm surprised he called me. All the stuff I've done. You know, Lord. I'm dipped in tar. So I'm glad for grace and mercy, and I extend that grace and mercy to anybody. And the Pharisee, no, I'm far from a Pharisee, you know. And so I appreciate God still calling me and using me.
And I don't forget where I came from. I don't forget my sin. And like I said, the Holy Spirit always holds that mirror up in my face. If I almost slip up and do, because now that I'm 43, you know, you think like a 43-year-old. And any time where I'm like, I find myself like, that, and I catch myself and be like, what am I talking about? What am I doing? That's crazy. You know, I've done that. And kind of bounce back to reality. So that's what he means when he says, judge yourself, lest you be judged. That's why he always was able to work with David. David would get off on that hypocritical thing, but then somebody can nudge David and be like, yo. And David would be like, oh, yeah, that's me. Wow, I didn't even see it that way. Sometimes we miss and we don't see it that way. But can God get your attention for you to repent? Yes. David was always ready to repent. And likewise, me too. This freaking phone just cut off. So I am going to close out of the show. My phone just kind of powered down. What I will do, since we're still live on Blog Talk, what I will do is say, if anybody was turned away from a congregation when you was trying to become saved and trying to become a part of the kingdom, I do sincerely apologize to you. However, don't give up on God for what man has done. You just simply open your mouth and say, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days he rose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. And by your Spirit, lead me to a church where I may gather together with other believers and be taught your promises and principles accurately and uncompromisingly. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the promise of abundant life, spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. If you said those words, welcome to the kingdom. It's just as simple as that. You are an official joint heir with Christ. Have a blessed week. Over and out.